From a sefer called Chashava Letova, which I sent you the PDF. I'll pull it up in a minute. It was written by, or it's the Torah of, Chanoch Henoch HaKohen Halevi, who was a, as you can see on the screen, he was one of the top Talmidim of Simcha Bunu of Peshischa. And after the Chedushei Arim passed away, after the first Ger Rebbe passed away in 1866, so there were many people who wanted his young grandson, the Sfas Emes, Rabbi Yehuda Aryeh Leib Alter, to take over. But he was too young. He was too young. He was about 19 years old at the time. And while many thought that the Sfas Emes was ready to be a Rebbe, maybe he didn't feel that he was ready. Whatever it was, there were many Ger Chasidim sort of in between the reign of the Chedushei Harim, the first Ger Rebbe, and the Sfas Emes, the second Ger Rebbe, from 1866 to 1870, they went to be Rav Chanoch Henoch HaKohen of Alexander. They went to be by this the tzaddik, who was also a Talmud again of Rav Simcha Bunu of Preshischa, a close Talmud of the Kotzker. And for those 4 years until his passing, many Ger Chasidim attached themselves to Rav Chanoch Henoch HaKohen of Alexander. Today is his Yahrzeit. It's the 151st Yahrzeit today of this tzaddik, and he has some beautiful short Torahs on Pesach. Excuse me. So I figured, why not l'chavad the Yahrzeit? Why not have an opportunity to enter a little bit into that world of Preshischa, sort of the world of Ger, the world of Polish Chasidus, and see what the Rebbe has to say to us. Okay, it's just a couple of short Torahs, but we'll try to squeeze out everything we can from them. Okay, so let's see. Chag HaPesach. He begins by pointing out something which you find in other Sfarim as well, that Matzah hu Lashon Riv. Matzah, the term Matzah is an expression of fighting, of being agitated, Riv. Riv means Machlokas. And the Sfarim point this out. We see this in the context of a Pasuk that you'll recognize from Shemos Perek Yud Zayin. It says that when the Jewish people were complaining about water, Vayikra Shem HaMakom Masa Umeriva. The word Masa phonetically is very similar to the word Matzah. And it's not just a play on words, the Samach and the Tzadi are somewhat interchangeable. So Masa means to quarrel, to fight. It's interesting. The main food of Pesach is called Matzah, which is a Lashon of what? Of quarreling, of fighting, of struggling, of grappling. No, Chaver, what's the Pshat? Jared, what's the pshat? Why is matzah a lashon of riv? A matzah is a fight. A matzah is a machlokas. Well, because you have machlokas, which type of matzah you like? I like it wafer thin. I like it a little more crunchy. You know, the Sfaradim make fun of the Ashkenazim for eating crackers when they're eating the nice soft, pitas, their lafas. So what's the matzah? What's the fight of the matzah? So explains Rav Chanoch Henoch HaKohen of Alexander. Matzah hu lashon riv. Laharos sha'adam tzarech l'riv im atzmo. Matzah, in many ways, the food that we ate as we were just becoming a people, as we were talking about yesterday in the Pachad Yitzchak, right? The process of becoming an Adam Shalim, it's not something that happens automatically. It's something that a person has to work on for a long time. So matzah, the food that we ate as we first discovered ourselves on the way out of Mitzrayim, represents a certain grappling with what? Grappling with oneself. Fighting with oneself, working things out. You're standing at the, and he's going to have a few Torahs that speak to this idea. You're standing at the Yamsuf on your way out of Mitzrayim, and you're not sure, do I want to move forward? Do I want to move backwards? Am I ready to leave Mitzrayim? Do I want to go back to Mitzrayim? Am I a Jew? Am I an Egyptian? It's like that awesome moment that Moshe Rabbeinu decides as he comes out of Paro's palace and he sees an Egyptian beating a Jew. And Moshe looks at himself and he says, you know, I'm sort of a Jew and I'm sort of an Egyptian. After all, I grew up in the hands of Bas Paro. I grew up in Paro's palace. I also know that I come from these Jewish people. And in that moment, Moshe has to make a choice. And it's really one of my favorite lines in the Chumash. My wife always talks about this line. Vayifen ko v'ko, Moshe looks this way and that way. Which, of course, according to the Pashup Shot, Moshe is looking to make sure the coast is clear before he strikes down the Mitzri. But the Vayifen Ko V'Ko is explained allegorically. Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to say, whose team am I on? On the one hand, I could just kind of lay low. I could hide my identity. I could just disappear into the world of Paro and not reveal myself. Or I could say, you know what? But I know who I really am. I know I'm a Jew. So Moshe looked this way and that way. Vayar ki ein ish. And he saw that he was a person who was not defined. He was not an ish. He hadn't picked the direction in life. He grappled with himself. He decided to strike the Mitzri, which of course doesn't only mean killing the Mitzri, that actual Mitzri in front of him, but it means killing the Mitzri inside of himself. So part of coming out of Mitzrayim, right, the food that we eat, which is a food that's called matzah, which means to grapple, to struggle, is part of our spiritual development. It's not easy getting out of Mitzrayim. You're on the 49th level of Tumah. Next thing you know, Hashem chooses you, and you're struggling to understand why that is. So that's point number one. Matzah, it's a simple one-liner, but it's an extremely important point. That part of the avoda of Pesach is to grapple with oneself, to kind of re-emerge, to come out of Mitzrayim once again, to decide I want to leave Mitzrayim behind and I want to be proudly Jewish. Again, it's the same thing Esther just went through. Esther is living as an unidentifiable person in the palace. And Mordechai tells her it's time for you to step up. And Esther hesitates. And Mordechai says, listen, you and your father's family will be lost to history if you don't step up. This is the moment that we've been waiting for. You've been hiding your identity, but now's the chance for you to walk in and say, I'm a Jew, and I need your help, Achashverosh. So, Chaver, there's moments in life where a person has to grapple, has to be prepared to pick a side. So matzah is a lashon riv. It's a lashon of fighting, of grappling, of machlokas, of struggling, of asking the harder questions in life. Laharos sha'adam tzarech l'rivim atzmo. A person needs to what? Needs to fight with himself. Vayigash elav Yehuda. That famous encounter between Yosef and Yehuda, which is filled with references to Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David. Vayigash elav Yehuda, the Kotzker Rebbe, who's the Rebbe of the Tzaddik who we're learning right now, Rav Henoch of Alexander, the Kotzker Rebbe said, Vayigash elav Yehuda means Vayigash elav Yehuda. A Jew, a Yehuda, Yehudi has to Vayigash elav, has to confront himself. He has to ask himself, what type of Jew do I want to be? To grapple with himself. That's such an important thing. And many people choose the path of least resistance, so they don't want to fight with themselves. I don't want to challenge myself. I'll just coast along. But matzah is the opportunity to be born again on the way out of Mitzrayim. Ukamo matzah she'ein la rak kemach umayim utzricha gam his askus. And just like the matzah, up of nothing other than flour and water, and requires non-stop action, you need to keep working on the matzah, his askus. We don't leave the matzah for a second. You don't leave the dough alone for a second when the matzah is being made. She'ein rega below esek. We don't allow it to stop for a second. We're constantly kneading it. As long as the matzah keeps moving, it doesn't become chametz. But if we pull back our hands, God forbid, we lose track of the time. All of a sudden, just by not being proactive, the matzah can become chametz. Uve'im lav yachol alahachmitz. Without the constant involvement, it can become chametz. Kein sarech ha'odim lis'asek tamid. A very important yesod. That just like, again, the food that we're eating on our way out of Mitzrayim as we're becoming the Jewish people, the whole avodah of Sfiras HaOmer, of growing, 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 growing each day, is a reminder that as long as you keep moving, and it can be baby steps, but as long as you're still osek and you're trying, and you're not just sitting back, waiting for your chavrusa to teach it to you, waiting for your Rebbe to drag you along, or waiting for someone else to make it happen for you. As long as you're osik, as long as you're doing and doing and doing, so you're not going to become chametz. But when a person becomes passive, when a person is no longer working with the kemach and the mayim, again, you don't need just simple ingredients. Adam yisodo me'afar v'sofer l'afar. How did Hashem make you? A little dirt and a little water. That's how Hashem made Adam HaRishon. So the matzah sort of represents kind of that raw material from which man is made. As long as you're busy working with it, it's not going to become chametz. But the second you draw back your hands, God forbid, the Yitzhar can get you. Okay? So, Chaver, two very important points. Matzah is a lashon of hisaskus, of riv, of fighting, of grappling, to grapple with oneself, and to constantly be busy, to constantly be working, and never to, God forbid, withdraw one's hands. As long as I'm working hard, the Yitzhar stays at a distance. But the second I let down my guard, the second I'm stopped, you know, doing, I'm no longer osik. Right? Lasok b'divrei Torah. What does lasok b'divrei Torah mean? What's the bracha of Birchas HaTorah? No, what's the bracha b'yachas satara? What are we saying, Seth? What we're saying is la'asok. I want to be busy. I'm always busy, right? I want to be busy with Torah. Just like a person who's a businessman is thinking about his business all day. So too, a person who's osik with Torah, he's constantly involved in some degree with Torah. The dough of the matzah, we don't withdraw our hands for a second. Okay, let's go to the Haggadah Shal Pesach. Let's learn a couple of insights from the Haggadah Shal Pesach. B'Haggadah Maisa B'Rabbi Eliezer V'Rabbi Yoshua Shaya Mesubim B'Bnei Brak V'Yim Misaprim B'Yasiyas Mitzrayim Kol Oso Halayla Achubo Tamideim V'Amr Lehem Rabbeinu Higi Azman Kriyashma Shal Shachris. This is a good teaching on Tuesday, especially for those of us who are in the middle of learning on Tuesday nights the Shar Yichud V'Amuna of the Baal HaTanya, which is all about Kriyashma. It's all about Yichud Hashem. So what happened? You have these tzaddikim, you have these tanayim, they're sitting in Bnei Brak, and they're telling the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim all night until their talmidim come and they say, wow, the time for Kriyas Shma Shel Shachris has arrived. You didn't realize the whole night passed you by. Okay, that's Pashup Shah. But explains Rav Henoch of Alexander, and again, other tzaddikim have this idea as well. The Or Chaim HaKadosh, in a certain sense, already alludes to this idea. Misaprim is a lashon of sapir. Sapir is sapphire. The luchos were made out of sapphire, according to one opinion in Chazal. Sapir means to illuminate. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh says it in his commentary on Chumash by the words Usvartem Lachem, by Sviras HaOmer. Usvartem Lachem is lashon of sapir, to make shining, to illuminate. When we come out of Mitzrayim, we spend the next 48 days polishing ourselves. We came out very dirty out of Mitzrayim. We go through the mikvah, that's Kriyas Yamsuf, and then we spend, right, after rinsing off our kli, we spend the next 49 days polishing. So misaprim is the lashon of shining, of illuminating, right? Sapphire, sapir. What does that mean? What's synonymous with shining and bright and illuminated? Typically, when a room is bright and illuminated, you can see better. You can understand what you're looking at better. When you're looking at something in the dark, you can't tell what you're looking at. So shining, illuminating, glowing, is similar to what? It's a clarifying. Klomar, birur, v'hadavar meir umatzir ko'or. What is sapir? Sapir means clarifying, that something should be able to shine as if it's bright as day. I told you yesterday that Leil HaPesach is called in the Navi a Laila Kayom Ya'ir, a night that's illuminated like day. So when it says the story of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua, etc., the Tanayim who were sitting in Bnei Brak, and they were telling the story the whole night, what they were doing was not just misaprim, not just telling the story, but they were clarifying the story in such a way that it was so clear to them. And that's what we're all supposed to experience in less than 30 days from now. You sit at the Seder, you're supposed to feel Chayiv Adam Liros Has Atzmo, Ki'iluhu Yatzim Mitzrayim. To feel yourself leaving Mitzrayim. That the Amunah that you have is what? Is tangible. It's not theoretical, like we learned on Sunday. That Yediya, Ein Keitz, right? Ein Keitz Ugvul, Yediya. There's no limits to how much a person can understand something, to be connected to something. I mentioned on Sunday that they said about Rav Chatzko Levenstein, whose yahrzeit is today, the great Mashkiach of Mir, Rav Chatzko Levenstein, they said, he doesn't just have a moon in his head. He doesn't just have faith in Hashem in his heart. He had such a tangible amun, it was as if he had his amun in his hands. You could hold it, you could touch it. So these tanaim who are sitting in Bnei Brak, who spent the whole night reviewing the story, deepening and clarifying the story, why didn't they realize it was morning? Because the room was filled with light. What does that mean, filled with light? Maybe supernaturally, the room was actually filled with light. But perhaps what it means is that they were mevarer, they clarified the inyan of Yetzias Mitzrayim in such a way that it was very real to them. They were re-experiencing it. Klomer ha'yimavarin es hadavar kol kach. They had such a clarity of what the Jews experienced, how real Hashem was on the way out of Mitzrayim. Ha'inu ha'yichud shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They had such a clarity of the oneness, the truth of God, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ad shayu magiyim la'hayichud ha'amiti. Until they got to a point where Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad by them was absolutely real. And the oneness of Hashem permeated everything. And when a person has such a clarity in Amunah, you know what happens, Chevra? You know what happens? It has a hashpah on others. It has a hashpah on those around you. If your Amunah in Hashem is strong, it'll be easier for your brother, your sister, your mother, your father, your spouse to believe in Hashem. When a Rebbe has strong Amunah, his Talmidim have strong Amunah. And vice versa, by the way. When the Talmidim have Amunah, then the Rebbe has stronger Amunah. There's an amazing story, actually, with Rav Chatzko Levenstein. Rav Shlomo Volbi, the great Mashkiach, one time came to Rav Chatzko. He came to Rav Chatzko Levenstein. And he said to Rav Chatzko, he said, you know, I have a Talmud who is struggling with Inyane Amunah. And he wanted to talk to Rav Chatzko Levenstein, who was one of the great clarifiers of Amunah, Inyane Amunah, the great Mashkiach from here. So he came to speak to Rav Chatzko about it. And they spoke for a little bit about this particular Talmud and what he was going through. And then as he was walking out of the room, as Rav Shlomo Volbi was walking out of the room, Rav Chatzko stopped me and said, Rav Shlomo. So he said, yes. Yes, Rabbi. He says, do you believe in Hashem? So he's very taken aback. Rav Volbi, do you believe in Hashem? So he said, Rabbi, of course I believe in Hashem. He said, you sure? You positive? You sure that you actually believe that God exists? You really believe? Rav Volbi's like not sure like what Rav Chatzko's doing to him. Like, Rav Volbi was himself a distinguished Rav at that point. He's younger, but you know. Yeah, Rabbi, if you believe in Hashem. So Rav Chatzko says to him, good. So if you believe in Hashem, so then go tell it to your Talmud. And Rav Volbi walked out of the room. He's very confused. He said, I came to Rav Chatzko to talk about a particular nekuda in Amunah, a certain philosophical quandary that my student was grappling with. And he says to me, just go tell your Talmud you believe in God. Because if you say it like you really mean it, then the person who's receiving it from you will also really accept it. They'll believe it. That's what Rav Chatzko was saying. Rav Chatzko, again, who was described as someone who had a Muna in his hands in such a concrete way, told Rav Volbi, if you really believe it, if it's clear to you, it'll be clear to your Talmud. And if it's kind of fuzzy by you, it's going to be fuzzy in the eyes of your Talmud. So these great Tanayim, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfon, these five tzaddikim who were sitting in Bnei Brak, were mesaprim b'yitzias Mitzrayim. They were clarifying Yitzias Mitzrayim the whole night. They were clarifying Yichud Hashem, to have a clear understanding of the oneness of Hashem. And they got to a point of Hayichud Amiti. They reached a point of what we call, I don't know, Yichuda Ilah, in the language of, you know, of Hasidus and Kabbalah, where the Baal HaTanya is describing. Again, join us Tuesday nights, 8 p.m. It's very geschmack. It's never too late to join. We're starting the ninth parak tonight? 10th parak, where are we up to? I don't even know where we're up to. Anyways, right? Something called Yichud. Clarifying the oneness of Hashem. So they're clarifying the oneness of Hashem. The whole night they're clarifying the oneness of Hashem. Ad shebo talmideim v'amir raboseinu higia zman kriya shma shel shachas. Until their students walked into the room and they said, Raboisai, our dear Rabbeim, it's time to what? It's time to say shachas. Klomar, gamheim higiu lahayichur amiti. The Talmidim also, who were not at that Pesach Seder, but there was such a ripple effect of that Amunah. The light, the sapir, the illumination that was shining from that Pesach Seder was so powerful in the world that it clarified the Sveikos of the Talmidim. That the Talmidim said, ah, we have Kriyashma Shal Shachris, right? Not the Kriyashma that we say at night in the dark. That's Amunah Balelos. The Kriyashma Shal Shachris. Bira Achduso Yisbarach Shomo. Laila kayom yair, a night that's shining bright. Vezeha perish. And that's why we say, in the Haggadah afilu kulanu chachamim, right? Even if you're a big chacham, you're a big tamar chacham, you're a navon, you're a maskil, you're a wise person. V'chol amar belesafer b'yasiyas Mitzrayim hareza meshubach. The more that what? You tell the story of Yasiyas Mitzrayim. But it's not just the more quantitatively you tell the story. The more that a person is misaper, the more you make the story shine. The more you make the story real. The cave and Shazeb Birur Hayichud. What are we doing at the Seder night? We're clarifying the fundamentals of Amunah for ourselves and for our family members. Im Kain Ein Chiluk Imhu Chacham De Ein Lizeh Shir. Like we learned on Sunday, it doesn't matter if you're a big Chacham. It doesn't matter how much you think you know the Sugya of Amunah and Hashem, Achdus Hashem. But you can work a little harder to make Hashem's oneness felt more strongly in your life. So that's what happened at the famous Seder in Bnei Brak. They were Mesaprim, B'siyasem, Kol Oso Halayla. By the way, Bnei Brak, what is Barak? What does Barak mean? What does the word Barak mean? Anyone know? Lightning, that's right. So Bnei Brak means what? It means that the very place itself was a place of illumination, right? Those flashes of light. But they were able not only to, like the Rambam describes in the Mor Nevuchim, Rambam gives an amazing famous mashal. A person, imagine, you know, you're walking in a forest and you're feeling lost, right? And it's dark and you're scared and it's starting to rain and you hear all sorts of creepy sounds coming from the forest. And then all of a sudden, in the middle of this storm, there's a flash of lightning. And for a second, the forest lights up. And for a second, you find, you think, I can at least, now at least, I think this is the right direction to go in now. For that moment of illumination, the Rambam describes the process, you know, the process of those moments in our life where we're able to you know, to catch kind of that lightning bolt. So they're sitting in Bnei Brak, right? But they were not just sitting in Bnei Brak. They were not just catching on to a momentary, you know, moment of illumination, but rather what misaprim, they were able to make the whole night shine. Misaprim, you see, it's time, kol oso alayla, they made the whole night light up to such a degree that their own Talmidim reached a level of Kriya Shema Shel Shachris. Okay, we're going to skip the next little piece. Let's try the next one, the question of the Rasha in the Haggadah. Chevra, what's the story with the Rasha in the Haggadah? The Rasha is a very complicated character. We need to understand what his question is, what his problem is, what the answer to the Rasha is. Okay, so let's see. The Haggadah says, Al Shelas HaRasha, right, with regard to the question of the Rasha, who says, Ma HaAvoda HaZos Lachem, what is this Avoda? The Rasha seems to poke fun at this whole experience of sitting at the Seder. So ask the Rebbe of Henoch of Alexander, Mipnei Ma Nikra Rasha Bishvil HaSheela HaZos? Why is he such a Rasha? Ma HaAvoda HaZos Lachem? Maybe he's asking in a sincere way. Maybe he wants to understand. What's so terrible? What is his rishus? What is he poking fun at? What is he mocking? What is he not understanding? Dihinei she'elas harasha, mishum shemiyayish es atzmo lomar kach. The Rasha's question is that what ma'avoda zos lachem, right? And we know that by saying lachem, he's saying, what is this avoda for you? In other words, the Rasha is saying about himself, I'm a Rasha. And as a Rasha, I don't have a shaychus to what's happening here. I'm not worthy of coming to the Seder. Now, he's at the Seder because his parents dragged him to the Seder. He's at the Seder because he's looking for a good meal. But he says, Mahavod ez aslachem. He feels like an outsider. He feels unworthy of sitting at the Seder. He's miyayish es atzmo lomar kach. He has despair in saying such a thing. Mahavod ez os. How is this shaykh to me? I'm a Rasha. I've made certain choices, and I'm not worthy of coming to the Seder. I'll sit here because, you know, to make my grandparents proud, but I'm not really connected to what's going on here. Perish kama kasha ha'avoda ha'zos lachem. Va'anu gruim biyoser shechatanu ve'eich anu yecholim leilech la'avodas Hashem. In other words, the question of the Rasha is, I'm not worthy, we have averos, I'm not allowed to be a part of this, and basically, he gives up. He gives up. But the failure of the Rasha is to realize that, hold on a second. Rasha, don't you understand how Pesach happened? Don't you understand that Pesach is the holiday that was given to those Jews who are on the 49th level of Tumah? I'm a Rasha. I'm not Shayach to the Seder. This is too much for me. I can't do this. Right? What are you talking about? What do you mean you're not eligible for the Seder? Don't you know what Yetzias Mitzrayim was? Yetzias Mitzrayim was Hashem coming to Jews who are on the lowest level and saying, come, let's sit at the table and have a Pesach Seder. Shehayinu b'madrega ha'tachtona ma'od. They were on the lowest level when Hashem invited them to the first Seder. She'im lo hayinu nigalim b'zeh harega hayinu nishka'im chas v'shalom b'nun shari toma. And as we know from the writings of the Arizal and other tzaddikim, right, hinted to in the Torah, that had we stayed in Mitzrayim even a moment longer, lo yuchal ismameya, we would have fallen to the 50th level of Tuma. So im kein adraba zehu ikir hanes shanachnu ba'atzmenu lo hayinu ruuyim klal zehagula. You're sitting at the Pesach Seder, feeling sorry for yourself, saying I'm not worthy of part of this. I'm too lowly. So we say to the Rasha, what are you doing? What are you talking about? Don't you understand how Pesach works? Don't you understand what Pesach is celebrating? Pesach is celebrating the fact that none of us were worthy of geula. V'af al pichin b'shvil rachamav hagedolim hotzi osanu mishiflusenu v'kirvanu elav. And despite the fact that we were unworthy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came with his Rachmanas and took us out of Mitzrayim. He picked us up from a lowly place and drew us close to him. So the fact that you're excluding yourself, you're kofar be'ikir yitzias Mitzrayim. You're denying yitzias Mitzrayim. So he smacked the Rasha in the teeth. He said, how can you talk like that? You're not worthy of being by the Seder. You deserve to be by the Seder as much as anyone deserves to be by the Seder. The whole avodah of the Seder is the reminder that when a Jew is in a low place, he's able to be taken out from that place because of Hashem's Rachmanis. After all, Chevra, what does the word Pesach mean? Does anyone even know how to translate the word? What does Pesach mean? What does the word mean? No, Max, translate the word.
To skip over, Passover,
right? Very nice. That's one translation. But Rashi has another pshat on the word Pesach. What does Rashi say? Anyone remember from Chumash? What does Rashi say on the word Pesach? Rashi says it's a lashon of chamal. You know what chamal means? What's chemla? Moda'ani lefanecha, melechai v'kayom. Hashem, you restored my soul to me. Chemla, what's chemla? New David Lifshitz, good work. What's chemla? Rashi writes that the word Pesach, the translation of the word Pesach is chamal.
Compassion.
HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Rachmanis. That's what the Yom Tov means. That's the name of the Yom Tov. It doesn't just mean Passover. Chamal, the word chamal means that Hashem had compassion on you. Right? Hashem looked at a Jewish home next to an Egyptian home and also saw what the angels in Shemayim saw at Kriyas Yamsuf, which is what? We're not all that different. Just because, you know, a little Dam Pesach, a little Dam Mila, we're not really all that different than our Egyptian neighbors. So Hashem passed over, but that passing over, Pesach means chamal. Hashem had rachmanis. Hashem was merciful. So we say to the Rosh at the Seder, how can you deny Yetzias Mitzrayim? Don't you understand what Yetzias Mitzrayim was? Yetzias Mitzrayim was not for tzaddikim. Pesach is the holiday where Hashem has rachmanis on us because we're pathetic, because we're on the 49th level of Tumah. So that's the chizuk. That's the mahav, or there's lachem. Who am I to come to sit at the Seder? Right, we say to the Rosh, what are you talking about? None of us are worthy of Yetzias Mitzrayim, but we try, and Hashem has mercy. And that's how we got out of Mitzrayim to begin with. Okay, so there's a little bit of Rosh inside of all of us that we need to respond to at the Seder. Remind yourself. Even though it's such a halig night, such an exalted night, we're sitting here like kings, we're free people. But reminder, Maschil b'gnus u'masayim b'shevach, what we learned from Rav Huttner yesterday. Okay, let's pause for a second. Yehuda had a comment, and Ashi, I thought you had your hand up also. Let's hear.
First of all, just on the beginning, yesterday we were talking about Maschil b'gnus u'masayim b'shevach.
Yeah.
B'shevach. And I was just thinking that the matzah, I was learning yesterday in the Zera Hashem show, and he mentioned the fact that that the matzah has to be able to become chametz.
Yeah.
And if it's not able to become chametz, it's not eligible. So I was thinking that matzah, just like the way that we do the Seder, and just like the way that we were in the beginning, the matzah also has to have this ability to start in the slowly place or to go in the wrong direction. We need a shemar. We need to make sure it goes 100%. In the right direction. So the fact that a matzah is a lashon riv, the fact that like it's in this struggle, that it can go in the wrong direction, but we have to make it into matzah. It's like this Indian that we learned about yesterday. It's exactly the Indian of matzah. And the other thing is, I remember.
You know who says that, by the way?
What?
You know who's Maimer Chazal that is? Who's the one who teaches us? I'm just picking up my Gemara in Pesachim, Lamed Hayim and Aleph. Who's the one? If you have your Gemara, take a look. Who's the one who teaches us that matzah has to have the ability to become chametz in order to be matzah? It's a person who also is exactly that Indian.
Is it Rish Lakish?
It's Rish Lakish, that's right.
Of course it is.
Rish Lakish, who went from being himself a robber, a head of the bandits, to becoming the Heiliger Rish Lakish, right? He himself went from being Chametz to Matzah. So yes, we say to the Rasha at the Seder, don't be a Rasha. Don't be a Rasha. Yeah, that's very important.
And then also, I remember the Avodah Yisrael told us something about Hakeh Shinov a few parshios ago. I can't find it right now, though, so maybe if I find it, I'll say it at the end of the year.
All right. Ashley, what would you like to say?
Just about the Russia, like, feeling unworthy and how could he possibly do this, sort of Shor points out that it's Kaddish and Orchatz, and seemingly it should be the opposite.
Right.
First, you should wash off all the shmutz, and then you can be Mekaddish. But really, Pesach shows us that even if you're on the worst level, you get Kedusha first.
That's
you need to wash everything off first.
That's part of the Passover. The Passover is that we get to skip Madregos. It's a Seder that doesn't follow a Seder. That's right. Usually it's what? It's Sur Meira V'Aseh Tov. Wash off your dirt, right? Take off your dirty garments, and then toivel yourself in the mikvah, then Kaddish. Right? But here, we achieve Kedusha before we even wash. So, yes, on the Seder night, we're able to, that's part of the Pesach. We jump ahead. We skip ahead. But it's all because of Hashem's Rachmanis. Hashem gives us an advanced taste of Kedusha, even though we haven't even washed away our Tumah yet. Yeah. Yeah.
He says that that's specifically why it's called the Seder, because we think there's a certain Seder of how things work and that's how it has to be. But really, no, this is the Seder tonight. This is how it works. Even if you don't believe in it, it's how it works and it
works. That's right. That's right. It's Hashem. It's a great teaching. Hashem's Seder is not, right, the way that we often envision things to be. Why would Hashem pick me when I'm on the lowest level? Right? Why would Hashem choose me in the 49th level of Tumah? The answer is Hashem says, because this is my Seder. I have a different way of looking at things. You know, Vina Hafachu. You see it one way, I see it a different way. Yeah, such an important idea. And there's many, many other elements of that on the Seder night, where we find that that the Kaddish comes before the Orchat, so to speak. That we're able to jump Madregos. Okay, Chavad, there's a song that we sing at the end of the Haggadah. I'm just curious, how many of you sing this song? How many of you sing this song? Lecha, ki lecha, lecha, af lecha, kilo na'eh, kilo ya'eh. Yeah, I got a couple of hands. I got really into this song the year that my wife and I got married. Someone taught me a tune in Eretz Yisrael to it that I like to sing every year, and it's one of my favorite parts of the Seder. Okay, just to remind you what the song is, right? It's a beautiful song. It's at the very end, right? Kilo na'e kilo ya'e, kilo kilo to him na'e. It is fitting to praise kilo ya'e, right? To him praise is fitting. Kilo na'e, kilo ya'e. And then it sings the praises of Hashem. And each line ends, lecha u'lecha, lecha lecha, to you and only to you, lecha ki lecha, lecha af lecha, lecha Hashem hamam lecha, kilo na'e, kilo ya'e. Right? Only you, only you, only you. To quote from a different song that some of you might know. Okay. So, lecha ki lecha, lecha af lecha. So look what he writes here. It's a gevaldik vart. And he tells us a little story about Baal Shem Tov. That hang on to this image in your head. When you're feeling down, put the Baal Shem Tov in your head, telling this to you. Okay, listen to what he says. It says Rav Henoch of Alexander, Lecha, ki lecha, lecha, af lecha. No, he asks a simple question on this song. Yesh lahavin, we need to understand. Aleph, lama omar af lecha, hamikodem omar ki lecha, v'day b'zeh. Once it says, lecha, ki lecha, right? What's yours is yours, to you and to you alone. So what is lecha af lecha? What do you need? What do you need? Lecha u lecha. I have an article translation here. Article translates yours and only yours. Yours, yes, yours. Yours, surely yours. Right? What are all these expressions? And more than that, they seem to contradict each other. Besides the fact that it's excessive to say it over and over again, you can just say it's just, you know, poetic, right? But furthermore, he says a second question that lecha. Ki lecha mashma rak lecha. First we say, ki lecha, right? Yours and truly yours. Yours, yes, yours. Ki lecha, yes, yours. And then we say what? Ba'achar kach omer af lecha. It's even yours. Right? It's like afein hayubo esvanes, like we were learning last week. So is it, it's also Hashem's, or it's only Hashem's? It's even God's? The honor even belongs to Hashem? Or the honor and the praise specifically belongs to Hashem? So what's the pshat? What's going on here? What's this af? So he tells us an interesting thing. Achein Shlomo HaMelech Alav HaShalom Omar Shlomo HaMelech said in Koheles Af Chachmasi Omdali Af Even my wisdom has remained by me. What does that mean, even my wisdom? So the Medrash says Torah Shalamati Ba'af Af Chachmasi is not saying even my wisdom remained by me, but a Chachma that was acquired with af. However, what is af? Well, we had it last week, right? We had it on Tanis Esther, in the shiur about Aleph and Af, than the four who said af. What does af mean? Af is a lashon of charon af, of anger. Okay? Of drive, of passion, of hard work. Shlomo HaMelech says, the Medrash explains, and many good Bali Musar like to quote this Medrash, Torah shalamadti ba'af. The Torah that I learnt with fervor is the Torah that is umdali, that stays with me. The things that you acquire with hard work are the things that last. When you listen to a shir, right? If you sit back, it's one thing. If you sit forward, it's another thing. If you're taking notes, it's a third thing. If you're thinking and asking questions, it's a fourth thing. The more effort you put into it, the more you're going to own it. So the Torah shalamati ba'af, the ideas that you grappled over, again, going back to matzah, milashon riv, the things that you struggle with, like we learned in Pachad Yitzchak yesterday, the Torah that you work, that you learn with great effort, with energy, is going to remain by you. Ki nitzrach lilmod ba'af, a person needs to learn with passion, with drive. Berogez, imma'amat, with effort, right? With rogez, to be agitated. The sugya has to bother you for it to mean something. So listen to what happened. Eitzel HaBaal Shem Tov Amar Echad Leficha Anachnu Chayavim ... We know that at the end of the Magid. So we say at the end, as we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything, right before we say the Hallel section at the end of Magid, we say Leficha Anachnu Chayavim Lahodos Ulahalel Leshabeach Lefeer Lerameim Lahader. Right. Therefore, after everything we just read about. We read about Maschil Begnosu Messiah B'Shavach. We told the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Leficha, therefore, Hashem, I want to sing your praises. And we end Magid by singing the first half of Hallel. So the Baal Shem Tov one time the Baal Shem Tov heard someone say what? He said, Leficha, with a chaf, rafa, uvenachas. Instead of saying Leficha, he said Leficha. He said a chaf without the dot in it. He said a soft chaf, lefichach, as opposed to lefichach. Amr lo Baal Shem Tov, lama ata omer lefichach. Why do you say it soft, right? A dot, when there's a dagesh, that makes it more chazak. Why do you say lefichach? Why are you saying it so softly? He was saying, why are you saying the word lefichach as opposed to lefichach? And by the way, if you look in different Haggadahs, maybe you'll find different versions, whether the word is lefikach or lefichach. But the Baal Shem Tov was making a point. Why are you saying it so soft? Why are you basically whispering it? V'chi ein ata yachol lomar lefikach b'kaf d'gusha. Well, you don't know how to say it with a kaf. You're saying it with a chaf. You don't know how to say it strong. But the Baal Shem Tov was saying to this fellow, right? Why are you mumbling? You just finished telling the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. You just relive the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And then you just say, Leficha, and therefore Hashem, I want to say thank you. Scream it. Leficha, strong. Say it strong. Say it strong. Make a kinyan on it. Zos HaKavana, that's what it means. Lecha af lecha. Lecha af lecha doesn't mean to you, even to you. Right? To you, also to you. Lecha af lecha. Af is a lashon of what? Of intensity. Of zeal, of passion. Of rogez. Right? Of effort, ma'amatz. Lecha af lecha. Lecha tzarecha adam lilmod ba'af, berogez, im ma'amatz. Right? Leficach, anachnu chayav lahodos lecha. I need to say it, leficach. I need to say it strong. That af lecha. That when I give to Hashem, when I sing praise to Hashem, say it with confidence. That's what we're learning today. Grapple with your amuna questions and work through it. Fight your way through it. Don't be like the Rosh who sits at the Seder feeling bad for himself that he's not worthy. Fight your way back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Do mitzvos with energy. Chavah, we're such an apathetic door. We're so apathetic about so many things that we do. We're so passive about our Avodas Hashem. Get fired up for Pesach. Decide you're gonna push yourself in something. Learn to do it berogez with ma'amatz. And he says, that's what the Zohar says. The Zohar says in the Tikkuni Zohar, and don't ever forget this. Oraisa below dechilu urachimu, lo parachas leela. Oraisa means Torah. Torah without yira and ava. Torah without dechilu, without yira, urachimu and ava, lo parachas leela. Cannot fly, cannot ascend. Doesn't have wings to fly up above. It's the famous idea of the Baal Shem Tov. He came to a shul one time and he walked in. And he said, "Wow, this shul is so full of Torah and tefillah." but I don't want to daven here. He said, if it's so full of Torah and Tefillah, why don't you want to daven here? He said, it's so full of Torah and Tefillah because all the learning and davening that they do is without any energy. It's without any Yira or Ava. Everything is just so flat over here that what? That the room stays filled with Torah and Tefillah. All their Shmon Esrei's and all their learning doesn't have wings because it's lacking Ava and Yira to fly above. So all their Torah and Tefillah stays in the shul. It stays in the Beis Medrash. So the room is filled with Torah and Tefillah. That's not good. We want to shoot our Torah and Tefillah into Shemayim. So, Oraisa below the Chilu Rechima lo Parachas Le'ela. If your Torah is without energy, then it's going to be it's going to fail to achieve its goal, both in terms of the higher realms and in terms of yourself. So, Lecha Aflecha. Make sure that your Aflecha, right, that when I give to Hashem, I give it with tremendous passion, with Af. The Torah Shalamati Ba'af, Hisha Amdali. That's what stands by a person. Okay? Chavra, just to drop more, let's do one more. 1.5 quick insights. Lecha ki lecha lecha af lecha. So he asks the question again. Let me take that back. Lecha af lecha 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 af lecha. He's pointing out here that it's lecha and it's lecha. It's you Hashem and it's you Hashem. Sometimes in the middle, it'll look like there's something. Lecha ki lecha lecha af lecha. Haaschala v'af hakol shelecha. The beginning and the end, before time, there was nothing other. Eventually, the world will come to recognize, once again, there's nothing other than Hashem. In the middle, it seems like, Hashem, you're also there. Maybe you're there. Possibly you're there. We learned about this with Amalek, blocking out Hashem in the Hova. Ha'aschala v'asof ha'kol shalacha. We can all agree that the beginning and the end, it's all you. Dila asidiyah bitul l'gamri. Originally, there was nothing other than Hashem. In the end, there's nothing other than Hashem. Hagam shebe'emsa nidme la'adam sheyesh mashu shalom. And even though at times it seems like in the middle, a person has something of his own, gamzesha lecha. It's bookended, it's surrounded to remind us that no, what appears to be yours in the middle is not really yours. And that's what we want to sing. By the end of the Seder, we want to reach a level where it's so clear to us that what? That even the lecha ki lecha, lecha af lecha, lecha u lecha, everything is yours, Hashem. Even when it looks otherwise sometimes. Okay? Another pshat, lecha af lecha, he says, the hainu, Yisrael devukim by Hashem, hu lecha, lecha, the Jewish people, we cling to you, that even af lecha, Chaver, listen carefully. Af, we said, is the lashon of charon af, even the angry moments. What does that mean? Even when Hashem punishes. Va'af hainu charon af, v'kas, hu gam lecha. V'gam achrav nish'arm Yisrael lecha u'dvukim b'cha, shekein ma'aminim sha'akol letova. Wow. Lecha af lecha, that even when I'm angry at you, Hashem, and even when you punish me, Hashem, and even when I feel distance from you, Hashem, right? Even when I go through those stages, you know, those rebellious stages of af, of feeling the charon af, when Hashem seems angry at me, or I feel angry at Hashem, again, I should remind myself that eventually I'll get back to lecha. I'm with you, Hashem. And I believe, because I'm ma'aminim sha'kol letova, I believe that everything is for the best, and eventually it'll find a way to work itself out. Last but not least, ma'amish, last but not least, he quotes a pasuk in Tehillim, it's Tehillim Lamed Zayin. Bitach b'Hashem v'asei tov, shechan eretz, dwell in the earth, ure'ei emuna. Ure'ei emuna. Re'ei is a lashon of being a shepherd, like a roeh. Re'ei emuna, shepherd faith. What does a shepherd do? A shepherd takes care of the flock. Nurture your faith. Bitach b'Hashem, trust in Hashem, v'asei tov, do good. Shechan eretz, dwell in the world. Take on the challenge of this world, re'ei emuna, and nurture your faith. It's a beautiful pasuk. Chavet Tehillim Lamed Zayin pasuk Gimel. But he explains that we have two holidays of emuna. Ha'ikar hu emuna. We know that the essence of everything is emuna. What's the difference between the emuna of Pesach and the emuna of Sukkot? Chavet, you'll think about this, you'll remember it. Pesach ma'ari ha'odam es atzmo al kol hashana. Pesach is when a person, so to speak, is shepherding his faith, he's nurturing his faith for the entire year. V'sukkos gam ken emuna. And Sukkos is also emuna. And Sukkos, we what? Sit in the tzeila de mehamnusa. Tzeila is the lashon of the shade, the shadow, right? We sit in the shade of the sukkah, which is the shade of hemnusa, the shade of emuna. We're sitting in a structure of emuna. Kemosha omrim, ki lami shakar, because if a person is cold, we just defeated a Amalek, Asher Karcha Baderech. So we need to stay warm. But a person who's cold, sometimes you feel cold on the outside, and sometimes you feel cold on the inside. I'm not even talking spiritually, I'm talking just actually physically cold. So therefore, we need something to warm our insides, and we need something to warm our outsides. Kamo kishayatsu mitzrayim. When we left Mitzrayim, remind yourself that Sukkot is a Pesach holiday. Sukkot is a Yetzias Mitzrayim holiday. When we left Mitzrayim, we needed two things. We needed the Sukkah on our outside, and we needed the Pesach on our insides. Kamo kishayatsu mitzrayim. Niten lahem chom bepnimius. We needed something to warm up our insides. A food of amuna, and that is achilas matzah, leischamim ba'amuna. But we also need the holiday of Sukkot, which creates a chamimus bechitzonius, which creates a chamimus on the inside. So we have this combination of Pesach and Sukkot as a way of what? Of nurturing our faith. As other tzaddikim explain it, we have a Sukkot holiday to teach us, right, how to live in a bias of faith. What are the two basic needs that a person has? You need food and you need a roof over your head. So on Pesach, we work on eating with faith. And on Sukkot, we work on living, dwelling with faith. But again, it's chitzonius and it's pnimius. It's the way that we nurture our emunah for the whole year. The matzah is supposed to warm us up on the inside. Okay, so some beautiful Torahs. Some short Torahs. Again, a lot to think about here. From the Sefer Chashava Letova, Rav Henoch of Alexander. Again, to grapple. Matzah means to grapple. Never stop working with the dough or it'll become chametz. To realize that a person can constantly work on being mesaprim, to make your faith more illuminated and have ashpa on those around you, to come to a place of yichud Hashem, that even those around you will also experience kriya shma shel shachris. To not be like a rasha who says, what am I doing at the Pesach Seder? Right, what are you talking about? No one's worthy of the Pesach Seder. That's the whole point. Pesach is a lashon of chamla. It's a lashon of rachmanis. We all made it to the Seder because Hashem had mercy on us. And to be willing to work hard, not just to mumble our praises to Hashem, but to say lefi kach, with a kaf dugusha, to say it loud and to say it strong, to learn Torah with af and rogez, to use that passion in a good way, and to remind ourselves that even when it looks like there's things along the way that are not Hashem, it's all Hashem. Even when we're angry at Hashem, it's Hashem and things will work itself out, and to use Pesach as an opportunity to nurture our faith and to warm our insides with the matzah, which is the food of faith. Okay? All right. Zuchusu again aleinu. His 151st yard site of Henoch of Alexander. All right. If you become a Gera Chassid, you'll be able to tell your friends that, you have some good Torahs to share.